Hey everyone, you're listening to the Kurt Landry Podcast. We're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're breaking down how to discern God's timing. But Rabbi, man, you're looking really sharp. People listening can't see. People watching can. Is it a special day?
Well, it's a great day. any day to be alive after my 69th birthday, I'm kind of just praising God for that. Yeah. Someone sent me a birthday card and it kind of went like, it said, happy birthday. It's great to have a birthday and feel so young. And then something, but then he opened it up inside and it says, yeah, but your turn's over. I had to laugh at that. My turn's over. Listen, here's the key. The advantage, the blessing, I know physical, there's some stiffness and lack of things that you can do when you were young, but I wouldn't replace the experience. The wisdom and the experience that you have at this age is so comforting because you can like look at really bad situations. And, you know, I'm processing, like for me, like everything we're talking about right now, everyone's saying how bad it is. Well, you have to realize that I was in a JCPenney's in Inglewood, California with my mother buying scout clothes, a uniform. And, you know, and back then they would sell, you know, these tube televisions. And so here's all this big wall of different size tube televisions. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got Walter Cronkite comes on the air and it says, and President Kennedy has been shot. You know, and the whole store, like everybody in the store left this huge, you know, department store, and we're all standing in front of these tubes completely frozen. You know, my mother was crying, all the other people are crying, and it goes like, what does this mean? And there's all this panic, and, you know, there's all these Secret Service guys and sheriffs and the car running, you know. Now, we've seen it now, but you have to understand that back then, and then, you know, that was like during the Cuban Missile Crisis where people are building bomb shelters, and I was in school, and I always laugh because they'd have us close the window and shut the Venetian blinds and get under our desk. So in case there's a nuclear blast, then of course, Venetian blinds would protect us, you know, from, you know, the radiation and all this crazy stuff, you know.
So like that was an actual thing?
Yeah, they did that. Yeah.
It almost sounds like he made it up.
No, but that's what they did in Los Angeles. That's where I went to school. But our school was right near the 405 freeway, and they let us out from school, and they shut the freeway down when Robert Kennedy was assassinated, you know, just up the road from where I lived. And so they were bringing him to the airport to transport his body. And so they had all these California Highway Patrol. I'm just saying that this is what I grew up with. Okay. And so I have all the experience from then to now. So when I hear all this stuff and people are going, man, you know, the sky is falling. This is the end. This is this, this is that. We thought all of that back then. And here we are, like I said, just celebrating my 69th birthday. And guess what? We're still here. So what a lot of times is you have to understand that the mass media has always sold with sex, number one, that's the best seller, and fear. So they're going to use sex and fear to that's how you market products, and that's how you get people to make decisions. And the fear right now seems to be the weapon of choice, because I mean, everything is absolutely, you know, is all off. And the biggest fear right now is the confusion over the what if or what will happen. And so the biggest problem that I have with people is that when fear hits at the level that it's at right now, the reason it's so bad right now is all, this is my opinion, my opinion. I don't think things are as bad literally as they look, but you have to realize you have a small majority that have the ability, that have money with mass media and social media, and they can blow up anything. So you've got like 4, 5, 11% of a population that can make their issue and just magnify it into this giant monster. And it's like, everybody thinks that way. And it's like, no, we don't. So, but we've never had to deal with, you know, before it used to be television, radio, and newspapers and magazines, but now it's with social media and the AI and all the stuff, you can create a fear frenzy and you can blow up anything you want if you have the platform and the money. And that's what's happening. So really, when I'm talking about discerning the times and seasons, I had a phone call on the way into the studio today. And basically this prophet, young prophet, right, just about your age, was saying the Lord told him that the enemy is going to go after the finances in the church, just like they went after the defund the police. They're going to try to defund the church. And he said, what do you think about that? And I said, oh, absolutely. I said, that's been working for a long time. So he said, well, what should we do? I said, well, I want you to go choose three leaders and myself, four of us. And I want to talk about how to protect yourself and how to deal with that prophetic word that the Lord gave you. Because it's great that you speak it. He spoke it, put it out on Facebook, got a lot of Instagram, Twitter and stuff, and he got some good traffic. But then we move on to the next word. My point is, what do you do with that? What does that really mean? So if you defund the righteous, that's what happened in World War II with Germany. They defunded the Christian influence and the Nazis took over. So there's always the defunding. So, and I even think if you could be far left as you want, but I do know this, the defunding the police hasn't done any good for any city that, you know, I think in hindsight, everyone's looking back saying, you know what, it kind of felt good. It was a good idea, but now look at the results. It's awful. So if that spirit is true, and I think it is, that the enemy is going to try to go and defund the church, then what do we do? I mean, do we hire ad campaigns? How do we battle it? I can tell you how we battle it. We do it God's way. We go into Malachi 3 and educate the church about tithes and offerings and giving and the power of protection that comes, that the Lord will make us fruitful. He'll protect us. He'll rebuke the devourer. He'll do all these things. So I think that for us discerning the time, the threats that are coming from the enemy against the church and against Christians is we need to mentally say, let's fight the enemy with spiritual warfare, because it says in Ephesians, we battle not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, heavenly hosts, and dark places. And so what my podcast is all about is if you want to supercharge your spiritual warfare to get real results, then do it according to God's calendar.
Yeah, it's something that I've brought up a couple times, something I heard from a pastor years back about God's perfect timing and plan for their life. And then you said something about really just breaking down what that timing and lining it up. And, you know, the one episode that we had last week on the 9th of Av, and, you know, we talked a lot about the physical to the spiritual activation, and it really had everything to do with God's calendar, right? And breaking that down. And so, you know, social media and just how quickly content can be spun. I mean, we have a pretty nice team here at Kurt Landry Ministries. I think we do a pretty good job, especially in terms of translation and just getting content into different languages, something that we're trying to grow and just reach more souls and more hearts and just educate them, right? And just speak into it spiritually. Where do people go to when they hear a prophetic word, right? So like that young prophet, that young pastor that, who has an audience, right? I don't know this individual, but probably has a congregation, right? So like he's got people that he's pastoring to. Where do people go when they hear this type of word? Because you said something, all right, well, then you move on to the next one. But like, how do you really understand what that is? And so for people listening, people watching over YouTube or Facebook, listening Spotify or Apple, when they receive it or they hear it, right, it's preached to them. Could be social media, could be in person at a congregation somewhere. How do they take that into consideration with God's timing? Because as that individual received the word and now they're giving the word out, right, where do they draw that connection in terms of God's timing and just discernment on that?
That's a good question. Okay, so you're right. Yes and yes. This young man is a prophet. Everyone would know who he is if I said his name. And he is pastoring his own congregation. But the reason he runs this by me is, you know, I'm twice his age, but I've also been a prophet for 33 years. And the word of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, the reason that I told him, I said, I want to go pick two other that be four of us, is because the word of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So he says, well, who do you want me to get? I said, I don't know. Don't get him out of my stream. Listen, let's say, okay, put it this way.
Find your own.
No. But if Chuck Pierce and I sat down with this word, we would both say absolutely. And we would come up with the same. I can pretty much guarantee you that if I brought the strategy and Chuck was in the meeting, he would say, let's do what Rabbi said. There would be no adding to, because he and I have been on the same page and the same river for 30 years. It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, no, you go get some of your young guys that don't know what I know. And so he mentioned two of them, one older, one young. And I'm real excited. I have no interaction with either one of them. I know of them. They're for real. But I guarantee you what I'm going to download to them, they have not thought of. That's who I want to talk to. And what I'm going to talk to them is about, let's align the spiritual warfare strategies. First of all, cleansing God's way to put on the full armor of God. Second of all, gather together as prophets and find out what the strategy is out of heaven. Not what we think, not what we know, but what he knows. Okay? So we'll have a Zoom call probably. If not, I can host him out here. But actually spend hours and find out, Lord, how do you want to do this? And then my part will be strategically, I will show them with what I've experienced in getting victory over spiritual warfare issues in Israel. And I'll say, if we align these four or five things, and I don't want to go into it right now, but if we'll align those into the strategy, then we'll have supernatural favor. Everything, there'll be nothing that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, can do to stop it from happening. And so once you know that you actually have a prayer, courts of heaven answer to stop it, then you won't strive trying to stop it in the natural. All you have to do is get the spiritual strategy and then find out what day do we actually launch that. And I worked on a project this last week. We've been working on it for 3 years, and we actually launched it here during this time. Why? Because we're at a strategic time in the calendar when God said, pull the trigger now. But everything was put into place. Everything God asked us to do, it's all these little small things. It's kind of like the time between Passover and Shavuot, that 50 days of the counting down of the Omer. The Lord's having you get 50 little tiny things. It's like packing for a long trip. Put this in the bag, this. If you'll follow all the little steps when it's time to pull the trigger, it happens quick, but you get the result.
And it took years, right? So like it just didn't happen overnight for you.
This project was a 3-year spiritual warfare battle, but
a long time.
That's a long time. But now the results will be huge. But the thing is, the enemy doesn't know exactly what was going to happen, but he could see by the people who assembled around it. This is my take. Like when babies are born that are really called and then they have a real challenge, the enemy doesn't know what's written in their book. Satan can't go, okay, there's a book written. It says in Ephesians that there's a workmanship prepared beforehand for each and every one of you. Scripture says God knew you when you were in your mother's womb. This is my spiritual take on it. When a really called special baby comes that is called to do damage to Satan, you know, someone that's called to be an apostle, a prophet, you know, pastor, teacher, whatever, a marketplace general, you know, somebody at high level, when they come, as soon as they come out, there's angels assigned to them. And based off what those angels are, let's say small, medium, or large, Satan has, you have to realize, Satan has, boy, I wasn't planning on going here, but I'll just tell you how it works.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's go.
Here's the thing that Satan has a full memory and a portfolio of every angel and everything he's battled with the enemy, he's got a full book on it. And so ever since he was kicked out. So what's happening is when a new baby's born, let's say a new baby's born here and 2024, the angels that show up for that child, if that's really a called child, most likely the angels that are being with them, if it's really somebody that's got a lot of huge calling on them, Satan's seen those angels before. He goes, oh, okay. I remember you when you were assigned to Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't know what's coming out of that mama's womb. He can't see. That's no legal right. But once that baby's out, the angels are show up. And Satan knows, you were the one with Esther. Oh, you were the one, because there's not like unlimited. They don't like produce new babies and new angels. These angels that are assigned were assigned to others in other lives and other seasons. And so that's why when you see somebody that's born and the enemy is trying to take them out, and I will say this, I really believe from the time they're conceived, the enemy, the angels, the enemy can see the angels around them, but definitely when they come. And so, that's a discerning of spirits. A lot of times when you see a child, or maybe even you, I may be talking to you and listen, you've been under attack your whole life. Maybe it's because you have such a huge call of God on your life that the enemy's been trying to kill you and break you and take you out, because he sees the angels that were assigned to you that are with you right now. You don't even see them. You don't know it. You don't know that you have that call. And one of the reasons you don't know that you have that call, if you'll align your life with God's calendar, every feast he'll start to peel back the onion so that you can see who you are in the family. Mm.
So now speak to people that would, say, receive a word like this, either digitally or in person, and how do they go about after they hear it and receive it?
Well, they need to have prophetic people who are around them that can confirm it, but also kind of like the example, I hope it was okay with Apostle Chuck Pierce. I would always listen. In fact, this word we're talking about, I ran by him. So
let's just say that the word's confirmed.
Okay. Brian, if the word's confirmed, yeah, you need to try to get with some other people for multiple counselors for strategies. So like the reason I want to get with these four other guys, the four of us, is because they come from a different background than I do, and we're more likely going to get a good quality spiritual warfare strategy on how to dismantle this. With the four of us versus just me, let's say me and Chuck or me. So you need somebody from, it's had different experiences, and that's where the real power is. And, so what you need to do as an individual, you need to find other spiritual people who really have your back, who really want to see you answer the call and have no jealousy and they're not competing with you.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear from you in this episode from a business perspective. I've always known that you're incredibly strategic, right? But hearing you open up a little bit, and probably people that are watching this or listening to it right now are probably starting to understand a little bit and maybe taking an evaluation of what they do daily with God. Good, bad. I mean, I feel like everybody wants to try to do better in some area, right? I mean, you'll be doing good for a week and then two or three days hit, you got a kid that's up all night, you kind of get out of routine. But I'm starting to kind of think a little bit in terms of how a strategic plan that, you know, you individually can design a little bit, get some feedback on from others that you trust in that space, spiritually. But I'm starting to understand a little bit. I think people on this episode are starting to realize how serious in strategic planning you are on certain things spiritually like this. I've always known that you're serious, right? But like hearing what the step progression in depth of different stories and when something gets brought to someone and how many channels it works through. And then like what's the next steps past that? Because there's all this work in the beginning, you know, but it's really like a elongated continual strategic plan that starts to unravel as you get through it. How many years did it take you to kind of figure that out?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I couldn't even, Christy could answer that, but,
it's super detailed.
Yeah. Know, but it's just kind of how I'm wired. Okay. So look at it, CEO, you work for us, you work with us, you'd see what we're doing. Okay. So, I'll just give you a brief prophetic, like a little bit of a history. Okay. In 2023, as you know, the enemy did everything he can to silence us and slow us down. Okay. That out of all the years of ministry we've had, that was our most challenging year, was 2023. Why? Because you can't just look at that year. And you can't even look at the situation and people that were involved. Doesn't matter. It's the enemy. I don't process off, oh, was this group or that. It's not my brain. Satan in 2022, 2023 tried to stop us and slow us down. Why? Because 2024 was coming. Okay? What happens in 2024? Double doors. So why, and you said it the other day on a podcast, you said, Rabbi, you're still, use the term, you're still like pressing, or what word did you use?
No clue.
Grinding.
I have like the worst memory ever.
I'm grinding. I'm probably going too fast and too hard. And why? Because we have from the new year, from Passover till next Passover, we have 12 months of double doors. The enemy knew we were going to have 12 months of double doors of destiny to be unlocked. That's why in 22 and 23, he tried to do everything he can to get us so wounded that we didn't even have a cart to go haul the harvest of 2023. But we overcame and were more powerful and more unified than ever. But you could say, well, you overcame and now you could slow down. No, you can't slow down because now we're in this 12-month window of the double doors. So this is harvest time. And harvest time is hard work. It's tiring. It's laborious. Everything we're doing. The reason I'm doing this with people is that there's an urgency. If you want to feel better, this is the time to do it. What we do in our ministry and our partners in the next 12 months is going to determine the next 10 years. Because you're not, when once we get to Passover 5785 and we're in 2025, there is no double doors. Those doors close. That window of strategic outpouring of God's blessings from heaven to earth, it goes back to the single door. That's why right now, this is it. So that's why you see me going hard. I think you said you still go so hard. The reason is that it's harvest time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense or help?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was talking about how you're addicted to working. New Light, listening to a little bit of that and just kind of how this podcast goes, you know, I think for me, I learn more than anybody even watching because I'm sitting here bouncing questions, you know, off your responses. I think it's more than you're addicted to working. I think it's from the level and understanding of God's timing and calendar. that you're so serious with certain time periods, right? And where a potential sabbatical could come in and like relieve you, right? And I just, you're so committed and addicted to the commitment of the calendar that you literally can't slow down, you know, because like it's not in you, right? And you understanding what unlocks during those appointed times, you know, I mean, there's nobody that could convince you to stop. I'm so convinced now that there's no way Megan could ever slow you down or anyone of trying to force some time off for you during certain times, because you're not going to miss out on the blessings that can come from it with the commitment to God's perfect timing. And so I still think you love working, but I just think you're so committed with, you know, it's something you talk a lot about, habits and patterns and lifestyles, you know, that it's not a fear, but it's, I'm not going to miss out on this time, you know, that like, I'm not going to let it pass me. And without me giving it 100%+, even though I'm tired and I probably really should take a break, but like, there's no way I could possibly allow myself to take the break.
Yeah, it's even deeper in that. It's
is that close?
That's close, but I'll just give you one experience that happened to me, and it's only happened once in my life. Someone asked me to go by and pray for this family member because the person wasn't saved, and they really respected me. And this guy was a real partier type guy. But he, for some reason, his parents followed me, and he loved Rabbi, but he's not saved. And so anyway, he got in a real bad car wreck, and they asked me to come pray for him. And I was going to go that day, and something happened, I couldn't. And I went the next day, and when I went into the next day, he died. And the Lord really corrected me. He said, I had you scheduled to be here yesterday. You could have led him to the Lord. And I missed it. And I made a promise to the Lord then. I said, I will never, this will never happen again, not on my watch. I mean, it broke me. I had to go to the parents, and they were expecting me the day before. So all these messages and the things that we do, I don't know who's going to listen to it. I don't know who's going to be saved from. I can tell you this. If you'll make good decisions, you can avoid sickness, disease, poverty, divorce, all the stuff that the Lord hates and I hate by making good choices. So do I need some rest sometime? Yes. And I try to strategically get that. But the point is, this isn't a time, we're in a time of war. And no one likes to hear that. But, you know, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, said, there's a time of war. We're in war. So this isn't like, you know, Israel's at war. And to be honest with you, I'm at war with them. And this isn't a time, there'll be a time when we can rest, probably in 2025. But right now, we got to go through these double doors, and we have to harvest souls. And so my motivation is, I never want what happened with that, their son in that motorcycle wreck and died. I don't want to ever hear that story again. I want it to be, if the Lord told me to say it, told me to speak it, I want to be there. I want to answer the call, because, you know, I had an experience overdosing on LSD where I went to hell. And so I don't wish that for anyone. So all those things make up kind of like the motivation of why I do things. So it's not so much, do I love to, I love my work. I love what I do. But what I really do like to do is, there was a price paid for my call. It doesn't belong to me. It's Christ in me, and I have to let him out. And so I have a responsibility. He saved me, so I have to serve his people. Does that make sense?
Or? Yeah, yeah. No, man, you know, that's such a tough lesson or feeling or direction to get. I mean, I'm not a pastoral type person. You know, I very much enjoy hosting this podcast and, you know, learning with people that watch and listen. But like the one thing that I took from it, and I mean, maybe other people listening or watching this will take from it as well, is that when God tells you to go, you go. And that's one thing I've learned over the past 6-7 years. When God has opened a door, you know, it's the season of double doors, right? When he opens a door and he makes it so apparent that it's so obvious, right? Because part of my prayer in terms of things happening, right? It could be individual requests or I got different options or whatever. I mean, something, life's happening. You know, I heard a pastor say one time, pray to God, and the way that you should probably go about it is, Lord, close the doors I'm not supposed to go through immediately, right? I mean, like, just slam it in my face, and I'm pushed back on my back, and I obviously know I'm not going that direction. But the doors you want me to go through, open them so wide, take all the obstacles out of it, everything lines up. Coming out here for us, it was kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, like I had a couple other opportunities that were really cool opportunities, but I kept praying that, you know, and it happened pretty quick that the doors open so quick and, you know, God closed the other ones very fast for me. It was just obvious, you know? So at that moment in our lives, we had a lot of different personal things going on. And we just sat down and just had to make a decision. Are we going to be obedient and just go through this door, or just, you know, or go through my thinking of what I think maybe should be better in a different situation? Hasn't been easy in different aspects, but I think God has blessed us beyond belief that if we weren't obedient and didn't come here and didn't answer the call, that we wouldn't have received certain blessings.
That's right.
And so I, you know, you walking yourself through that story of how you just had a really, it was tough. Like, that's a tough lesson. And I've been through not similar, but kind of the same lesson in terms of, well, God told you to go do something, right? Very obvious. That prayer, close the doors, open the doors. Not saying, because I've heard other lessons and I've heard you preach on a little bit, God will still bless you. It just might take a really, really long time for you to get that same blessing, that same yes, or that same direction. If you would just do the hard thing and just step through whatever he opened for you in that moment. And a lot of the times, you know, like the best thing, you know, that door that's so open and he's killed everything else off, right? All the other opportunities or situations are now not an option. The hardest thing sometimes, because it came so easy, you know, like we're always in this mindset for some reason, well, if it came easy, it can't be true, right? Mm-hmm. but God's blessings are that easy, mm-hmm. You know? I mean, like if he blesses you and he opens it, for some reason in human nature, we just, even if you're a Christian, you follow, maybe if you, you know, like if you're committed in covenant to the feast and stuff, sometimes it's just hard for Christians and people in general just to say, well, is it him? Mm-hmm. You know, or is it in my head?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's the message that Apostle Chuck brought here at House of David. You can go online and archive that and look at it or watch it on YouTube as well. But, his whole message, my biggest takeaway with it was you have to recognize your moment. And we're in a moment right now. This is a moment. This time, this season, this year, the double doors unlocking the destiny. This whole year is a moment year where you have to make it the right decisions and make a decision. This would be my prayer for you. Father God, I pray that the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in me would prepare me for my moment in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, Rabbi, what's your lasting thoughts as we transition out of this episode?
Well, I think recognizing the times, I want to read this summary. You can go and get my blogs. We have blogs on Tishbe Av, the 9th of Av. But in the summary here, I'm looking at the notes. It says Tish B'Av, the ninth of Av, is a day to mourn and sadness. Great tragedies fell upon the nation of Israel and all around on that day. It says it has become known as the between the straits or the dire straits, meaning the days of distress. So you're listening to this podcast and you are moving into, we're in the middle of July and you're moving into this time of distress. And understand that when bad things and distressful things happen, that they are there to strengthen you. It says that Jesus grew in stature from the things he suffered. Spiritual warfare can be intense during this season. I'm reading my notes, but this is an opportunity, please hear this, an opportunity to press into God and allow him to shape our character so we can hold the new wine he is pouring out in this coming season. This summer is a time where the Lord is giving you a new wineskin for new wine, fresh character, new value systems, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because the fall feasts that are coming, he is going to pour out abundantly, and he wants you not to miss, so to say, or spill one drop of his goodness.
That's good stuff. Well, if you've enjoyed this episode, if you're watching over on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. It really helps us out. Also, hit the bell for notifications so you can get alerts and just notifications on your phone whenever Shabbat or a new episode drops here on this channel. If you're over on Facebook, hit the follow. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, please hit the subscribe button. Hit the follow. Give us a ranking. Hopefully 5 stars. We just can't thank you enough. But for more information for current projects that Kurt Landry Ministries is currently doing, just go over to kurtlandry.com and just navigate the page. It is really, really obvious, and there's tons of good information and just more content. Well, Rabbi, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We'll see you next week, man.
Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you, Daryl.